everybody. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. I'm here with my co-host and friend, Chris Schaefer. Chris, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. I'm excited to share some stuff. You know, Jason, we are on the cutting edge. People look to us and say, what can I learn that I didn't know yesterday about Google AdWords? And we're gonna deliver today, I think. I mean, I feel like we are.
Well, if we deliver, it's up to you, because
that's true.
It's got nothing to do with me. So just so everybody has some background, you've probably been seeing it inside your AdWords accounts. Google is rolling out a new user interface. It's in beta mode right now. You can switch back and forth if you want to, or at least you can switch back. I have been living in denial. Chris, before AdWords, some might say I was a loser. And after AdWords, with AdWords, I'm more successful, honestly, than you or anybody else watching.
Listen.
Could even imagine. You couldn't even imagine. People can't even imagine how they see this blank wall. They see these LL Bean shirts and they think, all right, he's probably doing okay. No idea how good my life is going. And it's all because of AdWords, Chris. Mm-hmm. So it's an emotional thing for me. This platform, I'm looking at it right now in one of my screens. I love it, Chris. It's perfect. Why change it? Why completely overhaul it? It's an emotional thing for me. So I have been living in denial. I'm attached to the what I'm going to call original AdWords look, because even though they've changed it over the years, it looks pretty much like it has been over time. But this new thing is just totally new. It's throwing me off. I've been in denial. It's throwing a lot of our listeners off. They're not checking it out. But that's why we have you, Chris. We look to you. So you took the plunge for us. You went into the deep end, and you explored the new interface, and you have some things to report to us. So we're going to ask you what you found. I'm going to pepper you with questions, because as much as I've been in denial, you cannot go against Google. If they're going to change, they're going to change, and you've got to go with the tide. So starting today on this podcast, episode number 71, I'm ready for new beginnings. So, Chris, before we get into the seven things that you found and really liked with the new interface, I just want to ask you, are you getting a feel for it after being in there over and over? Is it starting to feel normal? Is it less scary? Kind of what's your take after playing around with it for a week?
I'd say it's less scary, but not normal.
Not normal. Okay.
This is an advanced for any AdWords managers out there that have multiple accounts that are using the MCC. You'll find that it is incredibly frustrating to try and use the new UI across all clients, because you'll swap between clients, and some clients will have it and some clients won't, and it'll force you out of the UI and go back to the old one. So it's impossible to make it feel normal, because you keep getting kicked out of it. You know, depending on what client has it, what client knows, but it is feeling better. It is. And ladies and gentlemen, okay, I really do have seven things that I really like. Seven things that I would say are advantages to using the new Google AdWords user interface. It's still in beta, but I still think, you know, these, even with the bugs and issues, I think it's still worth it. So,
okay. Well, I'm glad there's hope. And the best way I've been looking at it, Chris, it just seems like they moved the tabs from the top to the left side.
So creative.
The one thing I just have to vent, Chris, the one thing that gets me, I miss the white space. I like the white background. For me, white just seems computer. It seems alive. It seems I'm doing stuff in there. And this beige, light gray background, I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm at a retirement home. Singing John Denver songs together, you know?
They're bringing the web 2.0 to 2017, right? I mean, it's only it's only 10 years late, you know, so.
Yeah, well, it feels iPad-ish, you know? It feels tablet-ish. But that said, again, open mind. So let's get into it. So, Chris, you found seven things that you can do in the new interface that you can't in the original that you really like. So let's get into it. So the first thing that you found is that you can bid on or exclude household income levels for search. So kind of break this down.
How do you, I mean, Jason, did you let's state that again, okay? Because I think I like to lead off with what is the most powerful point of my presentation here, and this was my absolute favorite. This made me freak out, guys. You can bid bid up or completely exclude household income levels for search. This is not possible with the old UI. Jason, did you know that was even a thing? Did you know that that was possible?
I knew it was possible on the old one in the sense that you can target household income levels with that demographics on search thing, but it's very sketchy. Like, it's very hard to set up. It's hard to manage, and you don't really ever know, like, okay, I'm targeting the top 10%, but I also have to target the whole city,
right,
to you try to get the data I need.
Previously, the volume. Previously it was tied into geographic targeting, right? So you had to target like all of the U.S. and then add household income levels as part of that geographic thing. But that is it's a completely separate demographic. So now you have gender, age, and household income levels that you can bid on and check the numbers on, which is really cool. You can exclude household income percentages or even do bid adjustments up or down,
right?
So if you want to completely exclude the lower 50% or something like that, you can do that, bid on the higher level stuff, or, you know, whatever you think
works. You don't have to go out of your way to add the lower 50% or top 10%.
Okay, it's there, cool. Genders are. You know, genders, you can track male, female, unknown, and you can now see that information whether you add it in at the beginning or not, which is really cool. You can view this at the ad group, campaign, or account level. So, Jason, you can look at the entire account and say, out of, you know, if you have several campaigns running, several ad groups, you know, for each campaign, you wouldn't want to try and look at each one of those and make an observation for every one of those ad groups or campaigns. You can look at it at an account level and say, overall, all of my campaigns, how does the top 10% income level range, you know, respond to my ads, or the lower level, stuff like that. This could be incredibly important for different product types, different services. You know, if you're a high-end landscaping company, this could be really important for you because you might really want to avoid, you know, the people who would not be able to afford, you know, something that minimum starts at $10,000.
Well, it's important for, I mean, almost every single kind of business type. And I just go back to the one I always talk about, the moving companies. These guys, they can either get a call from someone with a 5,000 square foot house and a job that's going to be $2,500, or they could get a call from someone in an apartment, a one bedroom apartment, and the job's going to be $400. And there's no way to know which way that call is going to come in because both people are searching movers in Nashville or whatever. So income levels is huge for movers. I work with a lot of criminal lawyers and people in upper income. They don't usually, commit a lot of kind of the, you could call them lower end non-white collar crimes that people in lower income levels do. So I could see a criminal lawyer only targeting the bottom 50% of income and getting the kind of calls that he wants. So the more options, the better. And Chris, income thing has been, it's been one of those things that's tempting because you can access it a little bit on the existing, but I've never really had the opportunity to go really deep with it because kind of the options aren't there in terms of managing it. So I love what I'm seeing here. Thank you for pointing this out. I love that you can see click-through rate breakdowns, cost per click breakdowns.
Exactly, yeah.
And I also love that they show you unknown, which is not something they show you on regular AdWords. They'll show you, okay, what percent of your traffic in this ad group is coming from an unknown income level.
Yeah.
So this is huge. This is huge.
Okay. So that's it. That's number one. And guys that are listening, just in case you don't know where this is in the new UI under the demographics tab. So that's what you're looking for. It's going to be the same place that you find age, gender, parental status. It's going to be in the demographics tab. So look for it there.
Awesome. Well, thank you for pointing that out, Chris. Now, your second secret or gem is that it has faster date range changes.
Yes.
Explain yourself. Take off your shirt and explain. Sorry. I got to explain myself now, but I'm not. Just explain yourself.
So
he does CrossFit. He's well, sorry.
So basically, here's the thing. It drives me crazy to set up custom date range changes if I want to view something. So if I want to look at the last 2 months, there's no button on there that I can quickly go to the past 60 days. There's no there's no ability. If I want to jump from quarter to quarter to quarter, I have to manually, in the old UI, change custom date ranges. Okay? There's no way to do that in the current UI. With the new UI, there's these cool little buttons forward and back that you can change time intervals and shift from month to month to month. So let's say you set your date range January 1st to January 30th, and you skip forward. You can go month by month by month, every 30 days, and watch those metrics change through the years or through the months without having to change that. That forward and back button is phenomenally convenient for me. I love it.
That's hot. That is so hot right
now. Yeah. And, okay, here's the other thing. Number two, subpoint on number two here is there's a fast shortcut that I just love, okay? You click the date range, and now it's expanded a little bit further, and there's a little button there that says X number of days up to today or X number of days up to yesterday. You manually type in 90, manually type in 14, manually type in 2, and you get that date range immediately based on either today or yesterday's metrics.
Okay.
And that's so much faster than saying, okay, Siri, what was, what's 90 days ago from yesterday? You know, you have to figure out what those 90 day range is, you know? So I love that. I love the fact that the date range, what would be really cool eventually if they added it is the ability to save filters at the date range level. If they're expanding on this, and if they're listening, guys there in Google, what I'd love to see is filters that you can change at the date range level so that I can say, show me, you know, I can save this across my account and say, show me, you know, quarterly or, you know, custom filters by date range that I can save. So if I want to look at, you know, January to whatever, I can always switch back and forth to that and save that. But anyway, that's a pipe dream. But that's it. Date range change. Something you use every single day.
I love that button, Chris. And honestly, that's something I might not even see once I start going in here for a month or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I love, because a lot of times what I do, just like you, is like, I'm like, okay, I want to look at the last 30 days. But then I want to look at the 30 days before that and maybe even the 30 days before that. And I don't want to have to keep switching the date range and keep track of what the data was. So I could just flip back and forth like a TV channel. So that's awesome. Now that, you know, if this was a first date, Chris, you pulled up in this crappy car with CrossFit stickers all over the back. And I was like, who is this guy? But you kind of took me to a nice restaurant. And we're right at that point where you made me laugh for the first time.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I'm warming up to you, Chris. I'm warming up. And now that I'm thinking about it, Google, don't just throw this on everybody like a cold shower and not tell us what we have to play with here. Wouldn't it be awesome if they had a link when you get into the new interface that said, 10 new cool things about the new interface, and you could play that video.
Or a
link to the Paid Search Podcast episode number 71 for every AdWords user ever. But wouldn't it be great if they had something, Chris, to kind of warm us up? Because now that you're explaining it, I'm kind of seeing the beauty.
Okay, good. Okay, well, the steak dinner's coming. I got more. Okay, this is just the appetizer. So moving on to the next one. Here's one thing I really like. You can view multiple ad extensions in one view. Okay.
Okay.
So this is, you know, just the add extension button. Okay. You just click on ads and extensions, and there's a sub button there that you can click extensions. And instead of just selecting what extension type you want to go to, and then it changes the view for you, it's check boxes. So Jason, I can check box site links, structured snippet, and location extension, hit apply, and it shows all of those on the screen. Okay, this is nice. I mean, this is cool. I wouldn't really say it's a super awesome feature, but it's an extra bonus to be able to see this kind of stuff instead of having to click one by one by one. A little bit of a time saver.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. You can see if everything is approved or disapproved. You can get your data. Mm-hmm. You can make edits to it right there.
And the fact that you can see all of them on one page.
Yeah,
if you have something disapproved on your call extension, which happens sometimes, right? You get disapproved calls because maybe the phone number got changed on the website or something happened. You can now see that by going to the add extensions all, and you can see all of them on one page without having to click, 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 you know, and you're basically doing a quality check on those. You can do that all in one view. I think that's super useful.
I like it, and I like how you can just click from the campaign on the left side, and then you can click to an ad group and kind of, I guess, see if you have ad group level extensions that override it.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool.
Here's one that I think you're really going to like, okay? Jason, I'm going to take you back. Well, not really take you back. Basically, probably about 5 minutes ago when you were editing ads in Google AdWords, right? And you edit an ad, and what happens? It slides the page down. And you can create a new ad, you know, and it changes the interface. It covers stuff up, you know. It's kind of it's interference with the way that you might want to do it. With the new system, when you edit ad copy, you go into the ad, the ads and extensions, click on the ad tab, and when you click on it, this nice little pop up comes up, and it doesn't force you to. It doesn't cover up a whole lot of the page like the other one did. It's not so overbearing as the other ad editor system was. This is very small. I find it to be much more streamlined. Okay, this is nice. It's kind of a pop-up feature of ad editing, and there's even a button that says, you know, to expand this, you can make it a little bit bigger. But it doesn't force you to use the whole page cover-up thing, you know, that does all that. So another small thing to add to the list, but that's number four. The ad editing is ad editoring. Editing ads? Okay, there we go. Editing ads is a bit more streamlined.
You know where I'd really use that, Chris, is if I have a winning ad that I like, but I want to make a new ad to kind of go along with it with one change to kind of test out. Mm-hmm. I can quickly copy and paste just like in the old one, but once I paste in, it pastes in, but then instead of going back up to the top, like you're saying, in that whole new section, I can just click on the new ad and the pop-up comes up and I can change whatever I want to change because it autofills your current data there, and then I can save it and I'm done, mm-hmm. whatever my change is.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it. Okay, cool.
Okay. I've got a gold nugget here. You know, I said I like to put my favorite stuff up front. I was only slightly truthful there because I've got something that I think is my second favorite, and it's okay, number five.
You're turning me off a little.
Okay,
the main course is coming. I don't like this deceptive talk. Am I just one of many? Are you practiced at this deceptive talk?
You're gonna like this.
Win me back.
I've got something for you, Jason. There's a new ad extension.
Okay.
Okay. Got your attention, right? A new ad extension that's available, and it's called Promotion Ad Extension, okay? So you're familiar with all the other types, but this one is a new type of ad where you can create a special offer with a monetary discount or a percentage shown in your ad with that cool little, you know, like a price tag thing right next to it with information that you can qualify what type of offer you have. So you don't have to put in your ad copy. It's an extra little pop-up that can show up right below the, well, I'll say pop-up, no, it's not an appropriate term. It's an extra
add
line
on.
Ad. Yeah, it's an additional line of ad copy that shows below your ad. Okay? Here's what's really, it's a clickable link that you can take someone to a specified page.
Okay.
You can even set up things based on holidays that have preset run dates, I should say. Jason, your client is like super proactive about Father's Day because that's, you know, Father's Day is like this their biggest time of year. So they're like, next Father's Day, you know, I want to run this. And what do you do? You write special ads. They're labeled. They have a special automated thing to turn them on or off for certain dates. And you know, you forget about them and the old ones run. And I mean, there's all kinds of issues. This, I can say, set up a Father's Day promotion AdWords will automatically start running it during that promotion time that's preset in the AdWords system.
Right.
When that time comes up, when it's, you know, Father's Day, that time of year, the ad will start automatically showing because it's within that date range. Done.
I like it. I love it, but I'm worried about one thing here, Chris.
What?
Back to movers. Say we do a nice little $50 off your move promotion there, and they click on it, and they go to the final URL. I'm going to be heartbroken if on that final URL it has to say $50 off. Like, do you think on the final URL you can just take people to the normal landing page or website you're taking them to? I would hope so, because...
Well, it needs to... according to Google guidelines, you need to restate the purpose of your ad in your ad copy, or it could get disqualified. Now, it's highly unlikely, but that's technically the best, you know, the guidelines.
Yeah. So what I'm hoping is it's like the price extension where I've put prices out there on price extensions, and we don't mention them anywhere on the page, and they still get approved.
Well, that's going to stop. Mountain View's listening. You're going to get all of those disapproved now. But
no one listens to this. So, you know, and if they do, only listen to don't forget what I just said.
Don't give them your ID number.
Chris, they have my soul at this point. So,
true.
But so I'm loving the promotion thing. I really see a lot of uses for this, Chris. But I'm not just going to, you know, fall in love on the first date. If it is some kind of strict approval thing, I'm going to be kind of bummed, because editing websites for a lot of my clients is like, it's just not going to happen. So, but it is nice to know about the option.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it works out. And I think that, Chris, click-through rates are changing, man. Like, click-through rates, I think, are going to keep going up as they add more and more features like this.
Yeah. Nowadays, you get on ad, you know, you do a Google search, and your first organic listing is, you know,
sometimes below the fold.
Yeah, below the fold, which is incredible, you know, because there's map listings, which I don't really call
now have map ads.
Yeah. Yeah. And now the home services, depending on your area, you know, so it's pretty legit. But yeah. So
all right. Well, I'm going to try this this offer out.
I have
today.
No experience to say how well it works. I just know that I like the implications of how it can work.
I do.
So
as well.
Here we go. This is something that Jason, I never thought I would say. This is a bonus, but I actually kind of like their overview screen. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here's how.
Did you get hired this week?
I know. It sounds silly. Because it's such a contrived, like, here's your devices. And here,
all right, where's the screen?
So there's a tab overview. Called okay, overview. Gotcha. There's a tab called overview. It's up at the top. You click on it, and here's what I want to see. I want to see more options for this, but the options that are currently available, I like. Okay, you can change graphs. You can add multiple graphs instead of just two things in your graph. You can have multiple graphs. You can change a lot of these features in here to change whether you want to see cost, click, conversion, search impression share. I mean, there's lots of different things that you can look at in these basic, you know, data cards, I would call them. You know, each little card has a kind of a setup way to kind of overview your campaign. I wouldn't say there's anything that I really love about this, but here's what I do like about it. Some things you might look at, and you know, Jason, as well as I do, when you look at data in a different way, it always speaks to you differently. Because if you generate a report one way and then look at it in a different format, it'll speak differently to you, right? So that's what I like about this, is because sometimes I look at it, I'm like, well, that's interesting. You know, I didn't really pay attention to that one search query or that, you know, that one keyword or something, but it's actually the highest spending one, or it's the one with the best, you know, click-through rate or conversion rate. And I might not have noticed that in my normal activities of looking through things.
Yeah, I can see what you're talking about with the devices card. I like how you can get a colored chart of, like, how much of your cost is coming from each device. And it actually shows you, like, real dimensions that are compared to each other. And then you can look right below that and kind of look at your conversions.
Yeah.
And so if this many of your conversions are coming from mobile, but only this much of your search is coming from mobile, that can kind of cue you in on, hey, mobile's working really well, but we're not getting a lot of traffic from it.
Yeah,
and so we can go for more mobile.
Jason, I don't know if you see it on yours. I don't see it on all of my accounts yet, but there's a locations card as well, which will show you graphic, at least on this client that I'm looking at, shows you a graphical representation of each targeting area around where you're doing, and it will it's basically like a heat map. So if there's certain areas that get more clicks than others, it will show you darker areas for those and lighter areas for the others. That's a really, I think that could be really cool too.
Now why don't I see this, Chris? Why don't I see this?
I know.
Overview, biggest changes, campaigns, day and hour devices.
It's still beta. So it's probably not available for everyone, but it's something I've seen in the past. Something I'm seeing right now. It's a graphical overview of where you would get. So if it was the United States that you were targeting, it would highlight each state and kind of show you a percentage map of these are the higher percentage, these are the lower percentage, and you can change it to clicks, impressions, conversions, cost, conversion rate. So you could essentially send it to your client to say, you know, here, here's a really cool way to see where your conversions are coming from in a graphical representation of that.
Right.
So.
It's definitely looking like a monthly AdWords report right there on the home screen.
Yeah.
Chris, yeah, I'm liking it. And just I'm thinking of something here, Chris. People always get scared of new tools and all that kind of stuff because they think it's going to replace them. And so AdWords might be faster and maybe easier with this new format for new users. But at the same time, there's so much more to play with and to manage and to know about that I think for the AdWords Manager listeners out there, including both of us, I think this is net a good thing because it gives us more to basically know about and offer clients.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got one more, number 7. This one is more of a I happen to be in this every day, kind of checking it out, forcing myself to use it. This is something I noticed that probably many people wouldn't notice. You probably won't see it on any other top 5 list or top 10 list. But basically, okay. Jason, you and I use big screens, right? We both have iMacs, you know, with like
the biggest.
So I have a very wide display. I have mine pulled way out for width. And because of that, there's a black line over on the left-hand side, right?
Oh,
you,
really?
You see that dark black line, right?
Right.
If you shrink your screen and as if you had a smaller laptop, what will happen is it'll actually remove that black line.
And I call it the left navigation.
Yeah. Thank you. The left navigation actually will shrink, and now all you see is just basically the left tab screen, the left tabs over on the left. So I would say if you use the new interface, it is a whole lot easier to use a large screen rather than a laptop because of that navigational tab over on the left is hidden. And you have to pop it out in and out in order to navigate between campaigns and ad groups and stuff like that. I really like that it's there. Jason, I think you would agree not having that there makes things a whole lot more difficult to navigate between campaigns and account ad groups.
You know, I had my window pretty big, but I just made it even bigger. And what I'm noticing with this color scheme and the layout and all that, the bigger I make my screen and window, the more comfortable I feel looking at this thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that is, but I think that's a great tip. Just kind of go as big as you can.
Yeah. I think it
kind of looks like it's made for that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for is basically the larger screens work better with the new UI. I mean, that's literally what I wrote down in my my notes here. So I would definitely say you'll find a better experience when you expand it. And Jason, I think you've hit what you started out at the very beginning saying, it's the white space. If you condense everything in this new UI, it feels super cramped.
It's a little overwhelming. When
it's overwhelming.
Condensed.
But if you expand it and you have a bit more space, everything's not so cramped. It's a little bit easier to consume, you know, piece by piece what you're looking at. So
That's a great tip. And Chris, one thing I'm kind of, as I expanded here, I'm understanding the vertical tabs as opposed to horizontal. I think that's best displayed by the display campaign section, where, you know, in like original AdWords, you click on your display campaign and then you have to click display network or whatever it is in your tabs. And then under that, you have what I call buttons, keywords, placements, all that. This way, you can get all that stuff vertically in one screen. You can look at everything and move back and forth.
Right.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. So that's it. What do you think, Jason? It sounds like you're going to explore. You may not be the last person on Earth to use the new
interface. I'm not going to be the Japanese soldier fighting the Allied forces 20 years after the war ends. Like, I'm not.
Wow. That's
I'm not going to
really meta. Okay.
I'm not going to be the last one. I think I'm gonna lean in, and I'm gonna try to embrace this, because you know, there's a lot to like. Change is hard, but okay. I was trying to figure out how to widen columns, but you know, Chris, I think 2 weeks into this using only this, I think I'll really come to like it.
Okay.
And I really appreciate you sharing this stuff, because I was not there before this, but I'm there now.
Here's one thing I have to say. There's one thing that really upsets me about this new UI. Okay. Google, I know you're listening, because, I mean, I have Google Home here in my office, so I'm sure you're listening to everything I say anyway. But there's one thing that really upsets me. Jason, you're going to have to rebuild your columns for every client.
When you go in,
you see that silly interaction rate, impression volume, you know, it's complete, all the columns are messed up. So
hang on, Chris, I've got good news and bad news. If you've been saving your columns, because I always save them, I name my custom columns and save them, your saved column sets are in there, and you can just click to your saved set of columns.
Really?
Yes. For me, that is working right now.
Oh, I'm gonna have to go do that then.
Yeah, wow. So definitely check that. If you have been saving them,
I don't save mine.
You got to save them, because what happens to me, Chris, is like it would feel like every 3 months they'd run some kind of update, and I'd refresh a campaign or an account, and all my columns would be gone. So I got so sick of that happening that I started saving them every time I work in a in an account. I always save them at campaign level, ad group, keyword, and ad level.
That's a good tip. Well, that's it. That's all I have. So I hope everyone, you know, gives it a chance. I've given it a chance. It was not as painful as I thought, and I think there's some definite advantages, especially with the ability to, you know, do things that you literally cannot do in the old UI, like the household income levels and the promotion ad extension. And I can guarantee you there will be more and more of that in the future as Google starts to expand on this new UI system.
Right. Well, Chris, I love it, man. Thank you for taking the plunge for us. Thank you for walking us through this. And now that we've gotten through the beef of the show, I was thinking about you last night in bed. Can I break the mode here, Chris? Can I just go for a second?
I guess
we've given them content, Chris. Let's get to a little personal stuff, which you know they love, Chris.
I guess
you know people love the personal stuff. So
I'm not that interesting, but okay,
you are to me, Chris. I don't like a lot of people, man, and I like you.
Okay.
Like, well, and I feel nice. I know you feel the same way
that's
about
true.
Both
Absolutely.
Things.
Absolutely.
I know you don't like a lot of
I
people.
Would not be here every week if I didn't like you, Jason. Even though I've never, literally never met you in my life. You might just be a talking puppet, but I like you, talking puppet or not.
Yeah, so thank you for this, for taking the plunge for us. Chris, I learned a lot on this episode, and honestly, like, I'm so much more ready to take the plunge out there. And we've talked about doing some of this stuff before, but now with our new software, I think we should do, not today, because I know you're a busy guy, but let's do a little video of us breaking down the new interface, because no one's doing that out there. I think that would be a good companion. But, Chris?
That sounds super boring.
I'd love to watch you
navigate.
Going to
have to get some requests for that one. I don't think we are. I don't think
All
anyone's
right.
going to ask
well,
for that.
Chris, first year of college, how old were you?
Well, I mean, 19, right?
You were 19.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where can you? Are you fine saying where you went?
Yeah, I went to Baylor. University.
Okay, I went to Oklahoma State. What was your living situation that first year of college?
Dorms.
And now, okay, dorms. Break that down. Were you in a nice apartment dorm with your own bedroom?
Oh, no.
Did you share a room with another person?
Oh, yeah.
And you slept in the same room with another person?
Yeah. A stranger.
And then what about a stranger?
Complete stranger. Uh-huh.
Complete stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And you just fall asleep and breathe the same air.
Oh, yeah.
And all you had in your room was your bed and maybe a desk and their bed and their desk and a little closet or whatever.
Yeah, extremely small. We were in the old dorms. Literally, those dorms don't exist anymore. They tore them down.
And your bathroom situation, what was going on?
Shared community bathroom.
Community bathroom.
Walk across the hall with a towel. Yep.
Chris, we went through the same thing.
Well, yeah.
I was on the ninth floor of Wentz
at
Oklahoma State University with a complete stranger. I didn't know. I didn't choose. I didn't like. And I was thinking about how effed up that was last night.
Yeah.
That I was put in that situation. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to picture myself in that situation today.
Oh, gosh.
That's almost like – that's like prison, basically. Uh-uh.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
As an adult? Every you know what you take when you go to the bathroom, every shower you take is on a communal – like, that's men's home, YMCA prison type stuff.
Yeah, the absolute most precious time as a freshman in college in a dorm is when your roommate is not in the same room and you actually have privacy. Like, you can
actually sit. Did you like your roommate?
Yeah, he was a nice guy. I mean, I
didn't like mine.
I didn't speak. I'm in touch with him, but he's definitely not a friend. But we got along fine.
Isn't that crazy though? That was pretty much a decade ago or a little more for you. Like, we're the same guys we are then. Obviously, we're older, more mature.
I don't think we would have gotten along if we were in the same room.
No, you can't live like that.
No. I mean, I wouldn't get along with my wife if we were locked in the same
room. But you and I, we have our families,
yeah,
kids, pets, beautiful homes, space. Imagine if you and I got put in a small room the size of both of our offices right now, or smaller. That's how we slept. Mm-hmm. We slept in there every single night together for a whole year.
Yep.
And then we had to go to communal bathrooms that were disgusting every time we used the bathroom. By the way, I was thinking about this. What did I eat? It's not like we had a kitchen.
Delicious food. I don't know what you're talking about. I loved eating.
You had good food?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I had like four different cafeterias to go for.
Lucky you. But, man, no. I was just thinking about that because I blocked it out, honestly, because I don't think about it that much. Chris, what is that about, man? Are you going to put your kids through that? Or are you going to, like, because I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, I'd want to have a little bit more of a plan for them. But maybe when you're 18, you don't think like the way we're thinking now, and it all feels kind of normal. But I don't, man, I was freaking myself out. I wanted to know what your first year was like. So it's interesting that it was almost the exact same.
I didn't dislike it so much that I left. I actually stayed in the dorms the second year too, but I got like a nice corner room, which was like,
man, I tried to leave. I went home and cried, and I had a whole plan. Like, I'll go to the community college, I'll live at home, but I'll pay for it. And no, dude, I got kicked out. They were like, no, you're a man now.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah. I like the dorms, but only because I got a big corner room, had a private bathroom, and I was, you know,
what do you mean you had a private bathroom? Oh, in the second year?
Yeah, the second year.
Private
bathroom second year in a corner room, which was absolutely wonderful. So, well, Jason, I think
how far we've come. So, yes, that's enough personal stuff, Chris. But, you know, I don't get a chance. It's not like I call you up on Wednesdays or Mondays and ask you this stuff. So I got to take advantage of it. So, everybody, thanks for listening. Everybody, give Chris a shout out on Facebook and Twitter this week. Tell him how great a guy he is for doing this for us.
No, don't do that.
And, Chris, tell everybody what they need to do on iTunes. Beg for that review, Chris.
Yeah, and I don't want it.
Chris hates asking for things. Guys, go to iTunes. Think about what this man just did for us. Leave us a review. Tell us how great of a guy Chris is.
Say thanks by that. Yeah. Save the Facebook and the Twitter messages for the review. Yeah. Don't say it on iTunes. Don't say it on Facebook. So.
Yeah. So everybody, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with episode number 72. And we'll tell you what's on that show next week.